Welcome to Radio Gore Press. I'm Sarah. Joining me is Phil. How are you doing, Phil?
I am very warm right now.
How are you, Sarah? We are both like
melting,
part human, part soup currently.
Yeah. Just forming a puddle on the ground gradually as the night wears on.
I mean, I imagine most of our listeners are in the UK, but if you're not, it's very warm here.
Very warm. And we're not used to this.
We're not built for this weather and we don't have aircon, so this is somewhat unpleasant. But nevertheless,
I mean, during the day it's kind of okay, but when it's...
No, it's not.
When it's 10:30 at night and it's this warm.
All right. I work next to a laser cutter, an industrial piece of machinery
with an
extraction unit that kicks out a fair bit of its own heat. So I've just literally been like comprised of 95% sweat for the last God knows how many weeks. It's deeply unpleasant and deeply unattractive. Bring on autumn.
On that note, yeah.
We're very sad to say we don't have a Rosie this week.
We do not.
She's off doing other important things.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she'll be back
living
next
her
time.
Life.
I mean, you can't fault her for that.
No, I think it's a very sensible thing to do.
Life's for the living.
Yeah.
Just leave us poor schmucks to...
to pick up the dregs.
To pick up the slack.
To entertain you guys for an hour.
Oh, God. Or like an hour and a half.
Or an hour. Who knows?
Who
you never know. It's a gamble.
Who knows? So we did talk a little bit last time about the new kind of system that we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I say system. System makes it sound so much more formal.
System.
Basically.
Organised us.
Never. But yeah, in an attempt to kind of get you guys to interact with us a little bit more, we are putting more decisions in your hands. And this is the first one. I think it was pretty good.
It was a good shout. Yeah, I was satisfied with the result.
Do you know what I might do next time? Obviously, we... At the beginning of the week. No, it is the beginning of the week. Last week.
What year is it?
Last week we asked, we did a poll on Instagram. If you don't follow us, we are at GorePress.
Mm-hmm.
Just asking whether we should do a good film or a bad film. As simple as that. Because that tends to be what we veer between.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? I think it's...
There's
it's
very little middle
ground.
Struggling.
Like, mediocre films are really difficult to talk about.
Yeah.
Great films... Love to talk about them. Love to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Crappy films. Love to talk about them. Mediocre films. I mean, it's just an hour and a half of us going. It was
talking
mediocre.
About anything but.
Yeah,
just
basically.
Going off on every tangent in the world. So, you guys voted for bad film, which in hindsight is probably a bit simplistic. What I might do next time is do like classic or B movie.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that gives us a bit more free. Like bad movie. What we just watched isn't a bad movie.
No.
I think that's maybe a bit harsh. But because we've sat through some real stinkers on Amazon Prime, we didn't want to just like randomly pick something and have to endure an hour and a half of like...
It does feel like that sometimes,
ugh,
doesn't it?
Like competently made but awful movies. So we wanted to pick something that at least one of us had seen that we knew we would probably enjoy.
Guess who saw it?
I mean...
filling the part of Rosie this week and having not seen the film.
Have I seen every film?
I think so. I think you have.
We're
not, I think
no,
you can
actually,
safely conclude that you have.
No, because we're going to talk about a film in a minute that I haven't seen that you have.
Ah, yes.
So, before then, I was kind of grasping at straws this morning. Killer Clowns
was
on my radar.
Yeah.
Like, I think we should cover that at some point.
Mm.
Today was not that day, though. I wasn't feeling it. But I was just kind of brainstorming and I thought Critters is kind of good.
Mm.
But Ghoulies was always like the sort of, it lived in the shadow of Critters.
Yeah.
They were sort of a little bit more disgusting, a bit more like in the realm of sweaty poppets.
Sweaty poppets. I mean, the thing is, I know exactly what you mean.
Right, it's the best descriptive term ever. It was actually a friend of an ex-boyfriend who has a genuine fear of sweat, like anything like Spitting Image.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's a very 80s thing, really, isn't it?
Isn't
the sweaty
it?
Pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a genuine fear.
That's understandable,
and that term
puppets,
just...
Puppets shouldn't sweat.
No, it's pretty gross. But that term sort of stuck with me, because it's such a great descriptive term. So I mean, maybe we'll do Ghoulies another time, maybe that we'll put that back into rotation in a different poll. Mm. But you guys picked Puppet Master. So we watched Puppet Master. Before then, though, I think we're going to talk, I don't know, 5-10 minutes about what we've watched recently.
Why not?
Mostly because you want to talk about The Endless.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, that's that was going to be my first question.
Did I show you the trailer?
You did. This has been
quite a surprise.
In a twist. in an M. Night Shyamalan-esque twist. You'd heard of a film.
Yeah. Who knew?
Which surprises me because as soon as you played it for me, I was like, oh, those directors. They did Spring. And I want to say Resolution.
Maybe they did. I think they did a segment in
ABCs of Horror.
Sorry.
Sarah.
No one heard it. It's fine. We can go away with it.
Like, my brain's melted. This heat is just... Seriously, it's made me a bit brain dead. Is that offensive to actual brain dead people?
I don't know.
I feel like I can't say anything. Because, Disney might fire me or something. You know, everything's fucking offensive. But I'm not even employed.
Like, doesn't matter. You're fired.
Like, I'm self-employed, so it would be a...
be a stretch.
It'd be a feat to
they'd
get
buy you out
the
and then fire you.
Oh my god.
That would actually be pretty great.
They would so do that, those fuckers. I have been pretty...
Maybe we just need to offend Disney as much as we can in the hope that they will do that.
I have been pretty, vocal in my anti-Trump sentiment, so it's only a matter of time, really.
Before Cernovich sets his eyes on you.
Yeah. I am a dirty liberal.
Boo,
this is when they'll get me. So you showed me the trailer a couple months ago.
Yeah. So it was. I was surprised how soon it came out on.
Yeah.
Like video on demand
in the UK. Anyway, yeah. Normally it's something we'd have to wait for.
Right. So it must have been a month ago by now.
Mm.
But the trailer was really intriguing. It's really well put together. It was kind of enough to get you interested, but not having shown you too much to give it away.
Oh well, my second question then. Is I feel like the trailer showed a lot.
Okay.
Did it?
Interesting. I think it, in the scale of the film itself, I suppose it did.
Okay.
But the film itself goes out of its way to not show too much in terms of there's not really a big bad that is revealed at the end of the film.
Yeah. Okay.
I see what you mean. I think I was. I think what I might have done, there were two trailers and one was more of a giveaway.
One was more of a teaser.
I don't know whether I showed you I can't remember which one I showed you.
I've seen two. I've seen both. I may have looked and ruined that for
myself.
I've never seen the film, obviously, but watching the trailer, you know when you sort of get the impression it feels like some of those clips might be from really far into the film. I don't really want to see. To me... An ideal trailer doesn't show anything past the halfway point.
Okay, interesting.
I think if you're showing stuff beyond the halfway point, it's too much.
Mm.
You're blowing your wad.
That's fair.
I think
I think that's tough for really slow burn movies, though. Because presumably then in a trailer filled with just people talking to each other.
That can be done well, though.
That's true. That is true.
I like a lot of films that are just people talking to each other. I think you underestimate the appeal. Okay, that's interesting. But you would recommend it then?
The film, yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy Spring?
Yes. I think it was
yes?
I think the concept I found a bit odd.
Okay.
But...
In what way?
Well, it's been a while since I've seen it, but the idea of the evolution occurring within this one creature.
Okay.
It was one set in Italy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was gorgeously shot. I remember the actual drone shots of the city were amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I can't. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I
can remember images of it, but not enough to form a proper opinion of how I.
Okay. I think. To be honest, to me, that is a film that is one of the few films I can think of that the first time I watched it, I hated it.
Yeah.
And then the second time I watched it, I fucking loved it.
Okay.
And that is so rare.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, the first time I watched it, the person I was watching it with really influenced my opinion of it because they were so down on it.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's a film that's hugely missold by its trailer.
Mm.
It made it look more like a really sort of straight up foreboding horror movie.
Yeah.
And it's not really, it's a romance.
It's a real shame when trailers do that, speaking of trailers, I guess.
Yeah.
I know one of the films I've been meaning to rewatch for a while happened the same thing. Del Toro's Crimson Peak.
Okay.
Because
I still haven't seen it. I really want to rewatch it. I know we talked about it a lot.
Because I want to get on like a Del Toro kick, having seen Shape of Water twice.
And yeah.
Loved every moment of it.
Okay.
Maybe
we could do that for a podcast.
Maybe it'd be good, but it's not horror. It's a gothic romance. Like there are kind of ghostly things around
that's
it.
Fine,
but
it's fine if it's got horror elements. We can.
It's just not
good. We make the rules.
It was kind of no, but it was more like how it was sold.
Yeah.
People went in expecting a ghost story featuring Tom Hiddleston and
Jessica Chastain. I sort of got the impression it was sort of like more like in a literary gothic kind of vein.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly,
the impression
yeah.
I got though, so
yeah,
but then I don't remember having seen the trailer.
Oh.
So maybe it was like the other publicity that sort of
maybe yeah.
portrayed it accurately, and maybe it was the trailer that missold it. Okay. I am interested to watch it because
I love
kind of stuff that's like steeped in that.
I think like Del Toro just has a knack of like really great world building.
Yeah.
Like just such like the main house has this hole in the roof in the foyer, and there's just kind of this puddle of leaves that are just this steady trail of leaves that just fall from the hole in the ceiling.
Okay.
Throughout the entire movie, and it's just so iconic, and I don't know, a lot of his films just have this sheen to them. It's so,
yeah.
Like, I loved Shape of Water.
Also Doug Jones.
Also Doug Jones, who is just fantastic in everything.
He's so underrated. I think he's starting to get the recognition that he deserves lately. Mm.
I think, like, people often go to, like, Javier Botet as the spindly kind of creature man.
I sort of see him as, like, is he Spanish?
Javier Botet, I think so.
Yeah, like, he's kind of like the Spanish version of Doug Jones, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because he was in, Mama and Wreck?
Wreck, yeah.
Wreck, I remember him from, yeah.
But I think he's actually got a kind of disorder that means his sort of limbs are unnaturally long.
He's
whereas,
quite skeletal.
Yeah, whereas Doug Jones, I think he's just a contortionist.
He's just
like
a lanky dude.
A dancer slash contortionist, yeah. And he's just that physicality enables him to really like embody these kind of odd creatures.
He's great.
He is. In short, he is great.
He is great. I can't think of anything that I've watched recently.
No?
The one thing I have watched recently is TV, and it's not horror. But I will take a minute to talk about it, because you know I'm still obsessed with Carnival.
Yes.
And I started watching Damnation because I've been sort of looking for things that I can download and watch in the gym that aren't full of sex scenes because I'm embarrassed when people are around. And I can,
it's
there's
like
only
watching Game of Thrones in public.
Oh fuck no! Even I've watched that with my mom and she has to fast forward it. It's the worst. But there's only so many times I can watch Stranger Things. So
Wow, I mean you say that.
it's been like five times that
really?
I've seen the second season.
I'm impressed.
It's bad. So I downloaded that like on a whim and binged it all over the weekend.
Okay.
There's only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, this is awesome," because it's sort of like a melodramatic version of Deadwood meets Carnival.
Okay.
And I happened to Google it and was faced with nothing but, oh, Damnation, cancelled.
Oh no.
So there's literally just 10
episodes.
There it
is, there's the Carnival treatment.
And it ends, yeah, exactly. And it ends on a fucking bastard cliffhanger.
Of course it does.
And I'm so upset because I fell so in love with this character who's like a kind of hired gun turned preacher.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. But again, it's like, it's not, I mean, where Carnival was like Dust Bowl era, sort of 20s,
yeah.
I think this is the 1930s.
Okay.
But it's all about, it's the parallels between like then and now that I think I love, because it's all about like unionization and like the workers versus big business and striking. And
okay.
It's really interesting. And a lot of it's super relevant to now. And I'm just super bummed out.
Not
but,
surprised.
I think it was, oh fuck, I feel like it was USA Network.
Yeah.
And then it went on Netflix. So
okay.
I was just like, I don't know, somebody started a petition and I've been like sitting here for the past week just like, please somebody pick this show up, I need more. But I would definitely recommend it as long as you're not going to be too bummed out that there's no more. I know a lot of people are really reluctant to pick something up.
I've pardoned myself from Firefly, so...
Yeah.
Even though we've got a movie out of it, which is more than I could have asked.
I'm still really butthurt about Carnival.
Yeah.
And it's been 15 years.
Well, Firefly's... must be the same-ish.
Yeah.
Like, not to
more?
My show is better than your show.
Maybe but more. Wait.
Let's see when Firefly is released.
Fuck, is this going to make us both feel super old?
I think it might do. No. Firefly ran between 2002
and
2003. No! So yeah, 15, 16 years old.
Shit! Because I think Carnival was 2003 to 2005.
Okay.
Why are we so old? Why am I so old? You're still like...
Hey. We're not that different in age.
I know, but you just hit 30 and I'm like closer to 40 now.
Yeah.
God, I hate saying
say
that.
I feel that's a good segue, though. Something we haven't spoken about.
Okay.
So who knows? This might be just a throwaway line. The remake of Buffy. The reboot of Buffy.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I have no enduring love for the TV show, so I don't really give a shit.
Okay, there you go. Told you.
Controversial opinion.
One and done.
You know what? I love the film. I'm all about the movie. And I know it's shit. Fuck, that's 26 years old this year.
That's crazy.
26. Ugh. Just like, I could live forever just watching Donald Sutherland
just
like,
pop out of nowhere.
And Paul Reubens' extended death sequence. I love that film.
Forgotten about that.
It's so shit, but it's so good. And I think my biggest sticking point with the TV show was that I am not a Sarah Michelle Gellar fan.
Yeah.
She holds no charm for me.
I like, having like actually grown up and matured and realised what good acting is and not just,
mm-hmm.
you know, pretty face, I feel I'm kind of the same, but obviously
anybody can do that bland
when
Valley
I was like
girl.
14 and watching Buffy, it was just like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say I don't like it. I think it's a fantastic TV show. And obviously,
Joss
Whedon.
It's not aged well.
But yeah, I mean, there's that. But I think it had an interesting. I mean, some more heavy handed than others, admittedly. But I felt it was interesting in how it dealt with actual. Like, there were parallels between kind of, you know, creatures, demonic entities, and actual, like, issues that teenagers went through.
Yeah.
I thought that was very relatable.
I could see that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see how they did that. But I feel like it's got, the reboot has potential, depending on who they get behind it. Because I feel as long as they try and distance themselves from the original, because there's already like a precedent. I don't know, this is where my Buffy knowledge lacks, I feel. Because
okay.
It could be they end the cycle. But the whole story of Buffy is that into every generation a Slayer is born.
Yeah.
And I know they get all the potentials in the world at the end, but presumably that means that there's always going to be another Slayer out there. And even if they don't call it Buffy, there's a whole wealth of new stories to tell.
I would be way more interested in a whole new Slayer.
And that's what I hope they do.
Yeah.
And that's what they hope they do, rather than remaking...
Just a rehash of the same thing, yeah.
Because it feels like there's potential there. Because like I said, there's always the idea that into every generation a Slayer is born, so there's going to be other Slayers.
And there's
like I said,
been...
That's assuming I'm remembering correctly.
No.
I
think
over at the end.
I'm
never fucked the lore at the end.
Do you know what? I'm pretty sure that's accurate, but I didn't watch the TV show to the
no,
end.
No,
I think I only watched the first
that
three
was how
or
it
four
worked,
seasons.
But it could be one of those things where, like, in the end series, Buffy's like, this is bullshit.
Oh, and they change
and
the
they
rules.
Change it.
Yeah, who knows? I would be actually super interested to see a show that deals with a completely new Slayer and that goes way darker.
Yeah.
Then
oh,
I'd
how
watch.
So?
Just because I think... grittier
like high
be...
school still or
ooh yeah you could still do high school
yeah.
still have it appeal to teenagers whatever
yeah.
but like do away with the stupid like quips and
it's Joss Whedon isn't it
yeah
it's Joss Whedon's thing
but if he's not is he involved
I don't know actually
if he's not involved in the reboot then I'd love to see somebody take it in a whole different direction
I would like
a
to see
super
that.
Dark
yeah
one.
I feel like it's almost a surprise that it's been this long coming because like
well, they're remaking everything else.
26 seasons in or something like that.
At least.
and I feel like that's kind of Supernatural kind of ticks a lot of the boxes that Buffy sort of drew up.
It's interesting, actually, because with both of them, I got to about season 4 and was like, I'm nope, can't done do this now. Anymore. Boring.
It's a shame, because, I mean, like, Supernatural was a lot of fun.
I love the first few seasons of Supernatural. Still love it. In fact, up to maybe season 5? But it got to the point where they both, like, died. And I hate that Deus Ex Machina crap, because nobody's ever in peril if you can always be brought back.
Right, right.
What's the point?
Yeah.
I don't know. That bugs me.
It's a tough one. I think, I guess it depends on
what you're
watching it for. Yeah.
Sorry, just to interject quickly. And also the fact that with Supernatural, I can't remember the guy's name who created it, but he was very vocal from the beginning about having a 5-season arc.
Yeah, and it was written specifically for that.
And it got to season 5, and it all made sense, and it was great, and it kept getting, you know, climbing each time and getting bigger and bigger, and then it sort of gets to, like, God versus the devil, and it's like, well, how much fucking larger can you make this? Yeah. Just top out and end it.
And the producer's like, hey, this is still making us loads of money. Let's commission more seasons.
I mean, as long as we get, like, infinite Sam and Dean gag reels on YouTube, I'm happy, but I'm not going to watch the show.
I mean,
show
like,
anymore.
I always liked it more for the interplay between the characters rather than the actual, like, stakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly when they brought Castiel in.
Mm.
Like, Misha Collins is just the best.
He was brilliant.
He was so good.
Just the rapport between all of them was brilliant. Yeah.
See, now I want to watch Buffy and Supernatural again.
Now is not the time. We've got a podcast to do.
I guess you're right.
So, on that note, I guess we should talk a little bit
about the Puppet Master.
Yeah,
I feel we're not setting it up to be bad. We enjoyed it, I think.
I enjoy it. It's a great Okay, I'll start us off
like,
with a little
that was
synopsis.
I'm kill enjoying. Momentum.
No. I enjoy just chatting pop culture, but we can't do that for the full hour and a half.
That is true.
So, moving on. plot summary as per Wallace Entertainment on IMDb. Yeah. I don't know who Wallace Entertainment is, but it sounds official.
I hope that's his actual surname. Mr.
and
Mrs. Entertainment.
Amazing. So, it sounds official, so I'm going to go with this one. Puppet maker Andre Toulon shoots himself at the Bodega Bay Inn before his secret of life can be stolen by the Nazis. 50 years later, in 1989, the secret is discovered by Neil Gallagher. No relation to Liam and Noel. Soon he sends messages to his psychic friends, Alex Whittaker, Dana Hadley, Frank Forrester, and Carissa Stanford, who arrive to find his wife Megan, who claims Neil to be dead. As the night goes by, the murderous puppets are awakened and unleashed on the group, only for them to discover that evil comes in all sizes.
Ooh. That's a pretty accurate summary.
Yeah. Somewhat convoluted, but I feel the official IMDb synopsis was too short, so I went for the wafflier one to waste some time.
you know us, where we can waffle, we will take
the
chance.
We can definitely waffle. So, I'd seen this, but not for a very, very, very long time. Yeah. I remember a lot about it. I don't remember the beginning at all.
Yeah, you were saying.
Like, I vaguely remember Toulon with the... I remember the case that he puts the puppets in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the stuff that happens in the interim. Right, we'll get to this. So, starts off with, like, Charles Band's signature tiny thing cam. Yeah, just the... And, like, very sort of... tiny nervous breathing right next to the camera. Yeah, and it's like almost pretty comedic. I mean, it's not supposed to be like straight up horror movies, but it's like weirdly comedic, and I don't remember that at all. But I don't know why, because that's his shtick.
Yeah,
like I don't know. I would love to sort of get inside Charles Band's head for a day and just figure out what it is that he's so terrified about. What? Why tiny things?
He does like them.
But like dolls, puppets, gingerbread men, just tiny things. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. And Yeah, so we're kind of following to what we later learn to be Nazi
assassins.
They're
called
assassins
in the trailer.
Were they?
Sorry, in the credits. Yeah.
Okay, so two assassins in trench coats, and we kind of have like tiny thin cam. We don't know what it is yet because mm-hmm. we're seeing from its perspective. Fuck knows how nobody sees it.
It doesn't make itself, like,
it's literally just
particularly invisible and conspicuous.
It's just bimbling around people's ankles. How do people
you
not
notice? You would
definitely notice
that.
Jesus. I mean, I would. My eyesight is so bad, I'd just assume it was a cat out the corner of my eye.
You know.
But, you know. In
that
fact,
would be preferable.
There could be tiny puppets in my house right now that I have assumed are my cats for years. Who
oh God,
knows?
Can you imagine?
Look at you looking around. I'm pretty sure that's not the case, Phil. Don't worry. That one down there is definitely a cat. And then we sort of like meet André Toulon.
André, yep.
Who's very French.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a new puppet and he gives it life. And I love the fact that there's fuck all explanation. You just sort of dive in and all, the puppets are just like animated.
Yeah. Like, I was like, there's not fucking around. It was the first shot of the puppet in the window looking down. He turns back and like, oh, so the puppets are a lot alive.
Yeah.
That's just the thing. There's no like, ooh, what could be killing these people? No, it's actual puppets and puppets are alive. But, like,
straight off the bat, it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, that, yeah, great.
Done.
No mystery there then. I mean, there's no real explanation. Literally, the synopsis that I just read out actually told me more information than the film did. Because we are not told that the two assassins are Nazis. They have German accents. Didn't want to assume.
Yeah.
That would be xenophobic. They knock on his door just as he... That's my cat's getting aggro, by the way, if you can hear that in the background. Oi. Or... small puppets, I'm not sure.
You said they were cats.
I'm pretty sure they're cats. I mean, that one's a cat. That one, I think, is being, like, steered by an alien. I think one day a tiny alien's going to come out of it. Like, Men in Black style. She's being piloted. Is that right? So, but we don't know this at the time.
No.
He hears the knock on the door, kind of tells the puppets he's going to keep them safe, puts them in a case, and then shoots himself in the face.
I mean, realistically... thinking about it, 1939, two guys in German, in trench coats. Like, we should have twigged, really.
But, why did he shoot himself? Like, we don't know. We didn't know at the time.
True.
We didn't know that they wanted the puppets.
Oh no, but if there's two menacing German guys in trench coats in 1939 and we're watching a really...
I mean, it's a safe assumption that they're
B-movie,
Nazis,
then yeah, they're probably Nazis.
Yeah. And then flash forward to what would have been the present day.
Secretly 1989.
50 years later. It's very, like, considering it was, like, we were talking about this earlier, considering it was the cusp of the 1990s, it was very, very, very 80s.
Yeah.
And we are sort of transported to a psychic of sorts a carnival.
It's like a mind palm reader, mind reader.
I mean, it was fairly vague. She had tarot
Barbara
cards.
Was there.
Barbara Crampton. I love Barbara Crampton. Barbara Crampton, like, this, if there's one thing this film could have used more of,
I think you're right.
It's Barb. For sure. For sure. She's the best actor in it.
I think
like,
you're right, yeah.
By
yeah.
a long shot. So the psychic, should we call her a psychic?
Yeah.
Are they all psychics?
I mean, yeah, they
the
all
synopsis
have
referred to them
kind
as psychics.
Of psychic abilities in some sense, whether it's being able to
boob
touch
groping.
Things. And, yeah, who knows?
We'll get to that.
Sit tight.
She has some weird vision, and then all of a sudden, oh, and the other guy kind of pictures leeches on him because he's having like visions of the future or whatever. Who the fuck knows? Some mystic bullshit.
Yep.
And then...
some mystic bullshit happens, as said in the script.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that was, like, the bulk of the direction. Some shit happens. Fade out.
Everyone dies at the end.
Cut to... exit left.
Stage left. Pursued by a bear.
but a tiny puppet bear. We need to talk about the puppets soon.
We'll get there. I mean, it's hard not to if you're talking about a film called Puppet Master.
I mean, to be fair, you see very little puppet for the first 45 minutes.
See, that was my first, like, I haven't seen this.
Were you starting to feel like the title was a bit of a misnomer?
No, I was just not enjoying it. That first,
oh, really?
It was kind of, the first scene was great.
Okay.
Then puppets weren't happening, and that was really boring. And then puppets started to happen, it was great again.
Is that, like, the criteria for your enjoyment now?
I mean, for a film called Puppet Master, yes.
Puppets need to happen. That's fair.
I think it's just a lot of, like kind of fairly dislikable people talking.
Do you know what? For the most part, yes. The couple who were sort of masquerading as some science-y pair,
mm-hmm.
doing weird sex studies, fucking couple of weirdos they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were horrible.
Yep.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
The protagonist, who we don't know is the protagonist until right at the end.
Final guy.
The guy, like, dad bod with the Matt Berry hair. Who knew he was the main character? He's just so fucking bland.
And kind of, I mean, like, hitting on the recently widowed...
Oh, Christ, yeah, that was creepy.
Is that thing you do to someone? Like, I know your husband has died, but shall we go for a drink?
It's a thing that sleazy 80s Matt Berry hair does. Mr. One-Track Lover, as he shall henceforth be known. So... What's the male version of a Mary Sue, by the way? I always forget.
I don't know.
There is a term for it, I'm sure.
Hold that thought.
But he's one of those,
mm-hmm.
to me. He's so bland. Apart from his hair, which is fabulous. and then my favourite character, whose name I've instantly forgotten. I've basically forgotten everyone's names. Someone was called Alex, someone was called Neil, someone was called Megan.
Yep.
And then Megan was it. Megan was the widow.
Widow.
I feel like Neil was the dead guy.
Yeah.
The friend who's... Well, it was her hotel, wasn't it? Yeah. The person who'd kind of brought them all together. I feel like Alex was the protagonist.
Where's Rosie when you need her? She's always like...
I know! She's like...
I know this person.
She's on it with the names. Damn it. And then some other people. So science-y...
We did pay attention, I promise.
Sexy science couple.
Yep.
And then my favourite, the bitchy one.
Yes.
I loved her.
Who was the Palmerita?
The fairground
the very,
psychic.
Like, Louisiana Southern Belle.
Yes.
Accent.
And the stuffed Pekingese.
Yes.
She had a stuffed dog, which, to be honest, stole the show. Was my favourite character. I would have just watched a film about the dog, to be honest. And it didn't move.
I mean, you can. There are films about dogs you can watch.
I know.
Okay.
You do know that. I used to host this podcast with somebody who was obsessed with the Air Bud movies, right? Just anything. Dogs doing people stuff.
Maybe we'll do Cujo next.
Maybe we should. Oh my God. We should do like a Stephen King season.
Culminating in it.
We need to talk about Castle Rock. Holy fuck balls. How did I forget to talk about that? We'll talk about that at the end.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, hell. Back to Puppet Master. We must not tangent. That should be our motto. Must not tangent.
That is a terrible idea.
We should get...
Every episode will be 10 minutes long.
We should get merch. So... She was, like, loathsome.
She was horrendous.
But she was
mostly
my favourite.
Horrendous people.
But she was my favourite.
Yeah.
And when it came time for her death scene, she was a...
She put up a fight.
She was a fighter.
Yeah.
She was, like, the character that I would want to be. She threw that puppet against the wall so many times.
I almost felt sorry for it, really.
So should we... Like, halfway point,
mm-hmm.
puppets happen again.
Yep.
Do you want to give us a rundown of the actual puppets?
So, there's Blade.
There's only, like, five in this movie.
Yeah.
There are a lot more in the sequels.
There's Blade, who initially I thought was an odd choice of name.
Yeah.
Because they predominantly featured his hook. Like, I mean, you've got a puppet whose main feature is that he's got a hook for a hand, and he's called Blade?
Also, his eyes weirded me out. My god, we'll talk about the sound effects.
But then it turns out he's actually got a blade, so, you know, it makes sense.
But his eyes are like blades. Do you think in character design they were just like, he's got a blade, let's call him Blade. Oh, let's make his eyes blades.
What if he was just blades?
just a bundle of blades. With somebody using marionette string as our
shot.
That's
the film I want to see.
That's the film we should make. Girl Press Productions.
Okay, so there's Blade.
Let's just do like a really literal version of Puppet Master. Although really you can't get more literal than Leech Woman.
Cloris Leechman, you mean?
Yeah, tiny Cloris Leechman.
Who kind of comes out of nowhere. I feel that's a bit, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves.
No, we're giving a rundown of the puppets. This is fine.
Yeah, they're having, like, sexy science couple having sexy sex.
Science time.
sexy science sex.
Well, literally sex for science.
Ostensibly, sure.
That's kind of the excuse that they give for research.
Blindfolds were involved.
Because kinky.
Because kinky. Apparently. Because sordid devices or whatever.
He did talk about sordid apparatus.
Apparatus, yeah.
But like,
because
that's
it's not
really...
science without apparatus.
But this is it though, sordid apparatus. What, like a dildo beaker? Like, what's sordid apparatus?
See, in my head I went for Muppets. Dildo
oh,
beaker.
Oh no!
Because that...
Ew.
That is basically what it is, right?
Don't ruin the Muppets for
all right,
me!
Move along. We need to move away from
no,
that. Step away from that.
No, my favourite.
Step away from
no.
that.
But like, sordid apparatus is really subjective. Do they mean
true.
Just like...
Great band name, though.
Fuck, it is! That'd be a really good punk band. Sorted apparatus. Oh my god. They could tour with Pierce Brosnan.
I'd forgotten about Pierce Brosnan. Amazing.
Oh, we should start a music festival as well. So many
featuring
ideas.
Bands we've just made up.
Just fictional bands.
Yeah.
We'll get there and it'll just be Muzak pumped from your laptop. Sorry, guys. Just the Grange Hill sting repeated
oh god,
for 2 hours.
That is just nightmare inducing.
Oh my Ooh, god.
I couldn't do it.
We are doing it. It's happening. But, so, subjective.
Yeah.
So what makes apparatus sordid? Are they
talking
like just actual run-of-the-mill sex toys? Or
it
like
kind of was.
Vegetables?
Like blindfolds and... restraining device. It wasn't even like handcuffs, it was just
yeah she
a
just tied
cloth.
Him or yeah because you had a bit of a Gerald's game
yeah I was like I've seen this film before.
I mean, to be fair, that the ties would be a lot easier to
I think you're right
remove your hands from.
Oh no. Cringing just thinking about it. So anyway, she gets got
yep.
by
Tunneler,
who has a drill for a head,
but it comes away clean. There's never any blood on it.
Who knows? Because magic.
Yeah, because puppet magic.
Then, kind of out of nowhere, because, I mean, I guess they're all out of nowhere, because none of them are actually given any proper introduction, apart from Blade.
That's true.
This kind of lady puppet appears, and she's all very, like, normal. I mean, normal for a puppet. She looks like an actual,
like
pretty lady puppet.
Proportioned.
Yeah, that's probably the best way of phrasing it.
Yeah, like a tiny human, but with a really gross mouth.
Well, not yet, but...
No, it's pretty gross begin with, because
okay.
It's like... It's so wide open and
only
fucked
when she,
up.
Yeah, but she's smart. She has a normal smile.
Does
and
she?
Fine.
I
then she
that.
Has like the nipple sucking mouth.
The nipple sucking device. And then she
and
switches
then she
to
vomits leeches all over him.
Yeah, which is actually pretty grim.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
did not enjoy.
I did not care for that.
I'll knock off one star for that. So that's two, Tunneler and Cloris Leechman.
And Blade.
And Blade. Two in that scene.
Oh,
Blade.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's Pinhead.
Your favourite.
Who I think looks ridiculous. He was the second puppet to be introduced.
Yes, because he climbs
he
out of Neil's
climbs out
coffin.
The coffin. You see one giant hand appear, another, like, giant, one human-sized hand
When you
hand
say,
pier,
yeah, giant, like, just,
another
like, human dude's sized hands.
And then just, yeah, and then just a puppet with the world's tiniest head on it, which was amazing, and just the best thing I've ever seen. And then he kind of... Fox off to beat people up with his giant fists, with his normal sized fists.
Yeah.
Like, The thing I liked about that puppy is it's clearly just some dude out of shot with, like, half sleeves on and a puppet body hanging between his, like, elbows or something.
Yeah, I really, really wish they'd included, like, maybe we could find sort of set photos.
Yeah, just behind the scenes stuff would be amazing. I would love to have seen that. Then there's kind of Jester, who we see in the first scene.
I feel like Jester's, like, a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, considering, like, creepy clown puppet, like, that's the clear go-to for the... I mean, I guess props for steering away from stereotypes.
True, but, like, we're sort of teased, like, the little jingly hat behind the curtain and stuff, and then when we see him, he's the one with the, like, Rubik's Cube face. Head. And I would not have been, like... Obviously, that's basically the first puppet we see in the entire film.
Because that's the one he's making.
Yeah, I would not have been like, oh, Jester,
I guess in my head, maybe the hole spoiled us for Jester puppets.
Oh my Joe god, Dante's I forgot hole, about that.
Because that puppet...
That thing creeped the shit out of me.
And I love it so much because that film's like a 12 and it's really fucking creepy. Yeah,
that's a really good film, actually. Like, it goes a bit gash at the end. But it
gets,
like,
very Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Weirdly, like, classic kind of Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, Tim Burton.
Yeah, kind
of.
Like,
all sorts of black and white and checkerboard patterns.
I'm going to have to watch that again architecture. Soon.
And I think that's all the puppets.
That's it, like, just five in this one, I think. Oh, and they're, like, the Japanese looking one that kind of twists its head right at the beginning, but then we never see it again.
He just. Is a bit of a
He's still in the suitcase somewhere.
Yeah. Hiding, just chilling out.
Useless. He's just having a snooze.
So, that's the puppets.
Yeah.
Them's the puppets.
How did you feel about the puppets? Like, in terms of... Bear in mind it's 1989, low budget movie.
Mm.
Like, how did you feel about the effects? Because it's kind of a mixed bag. There's obviously
really
some
kind
like
of liked them.
You did that because there's obviously some like actual traditional puppetry going
on.
But then there's some stop motion as well, and like I couldn't work out if some of it was perhaps animatronic. Like
I don't know about that, but like, I think the one that jumped out was the stop motion. Like stop motion's kind of hard to do properly because you're moving these characters in such a way that gives them. Weight and kind of motion, proper motion.
Yeah.
And you can tell a bad stop motion film. But all of them kind of felt like they weren't just floating around. They were, they had kind of a structure, kind of
They looked solid. I think the sound effects kind of helped with that.
Yeah.
They were a little bit comical, but they added weight to them, like you say.
Yeah. So I was really actually impressed with them. Because it's hard to get right.
Yeah.
Like, animation.
And you wouldn't necessarily expect to see, like, decent stop motion in a film
like this. No, I think that may be like, why I was quite so sort of pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I think the Puppet Master films kind of get a bad rap on the whole, but they're a lot more inventive than people give them credit for.
I haven't really, like, it's weird. Like, Puppet Master films, I've always been aware of them because they've always been just those and like demonic toys have just been sitting permanently in the HMV horror section. So I'll come across them time after time and I'll be aware of them and I've kind of had.
You I've should been watch Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys.
But I've never, I've kind of assumed they are B movie, but I haven't really heard much about their critical reception.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see. Like, that was an enjoyable film.
It's a decent flick, right? That
was, like, Alexa, it stalled when there was all the psychic bullshit going on in the middle, but I felt like it picks itself back up really well.
Sorry, I just really like the term psychic bullshit. I agree with that. I think... I kind of mentioned before we started recording, like, I hadn't realised there were 13 Puppet Master
crazy,
movies.
Isn't it? Spanning 30 years.
I'll be honest, I haven't, like, somebody said that on my Instagram and I haven't actually verified it. Sorry, I'm just assuming that that person is correct and that there are 13.
Well, it would
but
surprise
it's got to be
one
about that.
On that, on the box
there's
that you
nine
have, there's
on
nine
that.
On that one alone.
And there's a new one this year.
Yeah.
And so that DVD is like a good few years old. So
there just needs to be two or three.
Yeah.
Even 10 alone is pretty respectable.
For that, like, I'm not saying the film is bad, but you wouldn't watch that and go, yes, that's definitely going to spawn 12 sequels.
I guess it's what happens when, I mean, presumably it wasn't exactly studio-led, so it wasn't a studio going, this is lucrative, we'll need to make more.
I mean,
it was someone going, I actually really enjoyed making this, I want to make another.
I mean, I'm kind of is it a Charles Band movie? Did he actually?
He produced it.
He didn't direct it.
It was Schmoller.
Schmoller.
Someone Schmoller. Schmoller.
Anybody? Schmoller.
Bueller.
So Bueller. I'm assuming that they must be making Charles Band money if he keeps churning them out.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
But they must cost so little.
Mm.
And have such like a hardcore cult fan base that people will seek them out anyway.
Yeah, it's weird because it's never really like achieved the lofty heights of something like Chucky.
No.
And you know, I mean, I guess I haven't seen any of the more recent ones, but certainly, you say that, looking at the trailer for The Littlest Reich,
that looks so like
there's
fun.
There's some recognizable faces
people
in there,
yeah,
like actual proper actors.
And Barbara's back.
Barbara Crampton, yes! Charlene Yee, Thomas Lennon.
Yeah, definite like actual actors that we've seen in things.
Which was just a massive surprise. I think I wasn't expecting it.
No, me either. Actually, I am so on board for that film, though.
I am too.
I don't know. I assume it comes out this year.
Schmoller. David Schmoller was the director.
That's a great name.
Schmoller. Yeah, I think he was.
I'm excited.
I am. That trailer was very fun. I feel like I probably don't need to watch like the other 12, do I?
I am imagining that you're not going to be missing like a wealth of knowledge.
Dolls kill people.
That's about all you need to know. I mean, that, to be honest, that could be like Full Moon's tagline.
Yeah.
Dolls kill people. Just the entire Gunstone studio.
Guns people, dolls kill.
Also puppets, also
just anything
tiny,
small and
animated.
Humanoid.
Yeah, basically. Have you seen Ginger Dead Man, just out of curiosity?
It's been on my radar for years because I know you've mentioned it before. But
holy shit.
I haven't seen it.
I can't remember which one is which. I know I've seen at least the first two. There is a third.
Of course, yep.
Because one of them, they have subtitles. One of them is Saturday Night Cleaver, and the other one is Passion of the Cross.
I'm on board with those puns.
The first one is incredible because it's fucking awful, but it's Gary Busey.
Yes. Yes, I remember you.
Whose soul... it's basically Chucky, but it's a gingerbread man.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bad dude and his soul gets transported into, like, some dough. Seriously. By some sort of ancient
magic
incantation thing. And he just sort of runs around saying things like, eat me, punk bitch. And it's fucking brilliant to hear Gary Bruce's voice.
Sounds amazing.
Coming from a tiny, angry gingerbread man. It's ridiculous, but you have to see it to believe it. One of the sequels is absolutely amazing because it's so meta. And I can't remember which one it is, but it's got like loads of B-movie directors in it.
Oh, really?
I think David Dakota is in it. Maybe someone like Jim Wynorski, I can't remember, but like playing themselves.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. If you know anything about like that sort of shit kind of canon of films,
then
you'll just have a blast with it. So I kind of have been, I don't know if I'm like a fan of Full Moon, but I've been very aware of Full Moon because they've done really cool stuff as well, like Castle Freak, which was like Lovecraft, Stuart Gordon, Jeffrey Combs kind of. So I mean, they've got some like genuinely decent titles in their library as well, but obviously this is the shtick that they're more well known for. So I've been aware of them for a long time, but they're sort of like, I view them as like trauma, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think they acquire films as well.
Okay.
They don't just make them.
Yeah.
But Puppet Master is like their calling card, I guess. I don't know. Do you, after having watched that, do you want to watch more?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. That was a lot of fun.
Okay. That's cool. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect you to, like, so animatedly say yes.
Like I said, it drags in the middle, but it...
Yeah.
I think I really liked it because it doesn't take itself seriously. Mm-hmm. If it was done completely po-faced, then...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but it's clearly done with a huge sense of fun.
Yeah.
And I really like films that do, like, kind of trashy, but know they're trashy and just roll with it. And
oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like, I really like films that do that.
Yeah. I have mad respect for something that knows what it is and just runs with it. Yeah. I think that's great.
Like, as if it had, like, delusions of grandeur and yeah, tried to be this lofty, like, horror and just failed miserably, then...
Serious.
Yeah, seriously. Like, that would just be the worst. But it's fun. Like, it doesn't take itself seriously. There's some really stupid fun moments in there. Yeah.
And there's some, like, half-decent gore...
Yeah.
There are moments towards the end where it's like, ugh,
yeah,
you know.
Vomiting leeches into someone's mouth.
Yeah, cutting fingers off. It's fun. It's fun. I think, well, I know I've seen the next few, but I don't think I've seen anything beyond 5 or 6.
Okay.
I don't know where Demonic Toys versus Puppet Master falls.
Whereabouts in the canon it yeah, fits.
I don't know.
Like, you know, it's like the MCU, right? You need to watch them in order for it yeah, to make sense.
Absolutely. You don't want, like, big deaths spoiled. So I think what I might have to do is, like, make a point of going through them all.
I feel like I need to join you on that.
I mean, not. Don't worry, not for the podcast. We're not going to do like 1 through 13 for the next 26 fucking weeks. That's half a year. Oh yeah. My god, there are enough Puppet Master films for half a year's worth of podcasts. That's insane.
That is crazy.
Maybe the other half of the year we could do like Amityville Horror movies or something. What else is there a ton of? What else is there at like?
I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street.
But in terms of franchises, is Puppet Master like... Oh god, now I really want to know, like, well, like which franchise has the most films in it?
Let's see what Google says, because Google knows everything.
Because Halloween's got how many? Like, 9? 10?
Pass on that one.
That's a total guess. Friday 13th has about the same.
It's not Puppet longest Master's... running, isn't it? It's the horror franchise with most...
With the most titles, yeah.
Interesting.
Can you not find anything?
You carry on talking.
Okay. Well, no, like, Puppet Master surpasses all the ones I can think of.
Yeah.
So I really am intrigued to know if there's something with more installments.
So this Quora... article.
Yeah.
Says that the DTV Witchcraft series has 15 sequels.
15?
Yeah. You could say Amityville sequels don't run together and are made by different production companies and really aren't made as a series.
Okay. Well, there goes that idea.
I guess 12 movies in the Friday 13th.
12! That's Nightmare more than I thought. Nightmare
on Elm has 9 and Halloween, which has 10, apparently.
10! Yes!
Oh, well done. Brain Terror strikes again.
Literally patting myself on the back right now. Wow. So that's, like, insane that it's been running this long.
Yeah.
And that's... 28 years old? 29 years old.
Yeah.
So the franchise has been running for 29 years. And they've made another one that's coming out this year. That's insane. Phil. That is crazy.
We've got to watch them all.
Now.
Right now. Tonight.
All night. Back to back. No. I can't. Oh God. I would go mad. Can you imagine? We'd go mad. So, in summary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we need to run through the rest of the synopsis. Because I imagine most people have seen this film now.
If they haven't. Killed. Turns out. Plot twist. The dead guy wasn't dead.
I mean, he kind of was dead.
He was reanimated. he'd voodoo puppeted himself. Which I can't quite understand the logistics on, because surely it involves, like, Like, you saw
I'm just really happy that you turned that into a verb.
Voodoo puppeting.
He voodoo puppeted himself.
Like, you see the process in the start. It involves, like, a bit of, yeah. bit of head rubbing. and then they come to life.
And he sort of says something like, oh, I give you life.
Yeah, and I would be... I'm impressed that he managed that after having died.
Yeah, this is what I thought, right? Plot hole.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Okay.
As soon as he said that, I was like, but you were dead.
Yeah.
How? Unless somebody else did that for you, but you were the only one who knew Talon's secret. So, like, what?
Maybe he rigged his corpse up to, like, some kind of Rube Goldberg device.
Well, this is why...
And then had, like, a recording of himself playing in the background.
This is why I kind of gave it a pass, because he did sort of say he... Like, there was some wording where he said, like, he planned it before okay. his death.
Okay.
I don't know. I might be giving the film more credit than it deserves there.
I mean, realistically, does it matter? No.
But, I mean, ultimately, all I want to say is that the dog comes back to life. So right. it's, like, the happiest ending
that
possible.
That explains where that weird yap comes from halfway through the film. And you haven't spoken about sound effects either, so.
Oh, like the.
So many good sound effects. I love them.
It is brilliant. Really brilliantly comical. I mean, really, all I cared about was the Pekingese.
Yeah.
And it came back to life, so I'm happy. Like, screw like a, everybody else.
Like a reverse Marley and Me.
Oh my god, that's dark. Oh. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking about Marley and Me.
Owen Wilson rocks up at the end of Puppet Master.
Oh my god.
Wow.
They should do a Puppet Master with Owen Wilson. I mean, there's clearly going to be like a 14th and a 15th
I wouldn't be
and
surprised.
A 16th. And the cast is getting better, so you never know.
Will maybe, it reach the heights of Owen Wilson?
Maybe like Puppet Master 23 will have like an A-list cast and be really big budget and meta. Oh, fuck, we can only hope.
The dream.
That would be amazing.
The dream.
But, like, the puppets are all the same.
Yeah. Like, exactly. They still look equally as shit.
Yeah, yeah, they're the exact ones from 1989. They haven't progressed at all. I would watch the shit out of that. Can we crowdfund it?
Yes, I think we should. I think we should do that right now.
Amazing. So, is it a film you would tell people to watch?
Yes.
It is.
I think that it's a really good beer movie.
Yes. I was just about
get
to
drunk,
say the same.
With your friends, have some pizza, and watch a silly horror movie.
Do you know what? It'd be a really good one to like turn into a drinking game as well.
Mm. Every time Blade's eyes pop out.
Every time you hear a weird like poppy sound yep. effect that belongs in a cartoon. Oh, we'd die. Obviously, I really love what I've seen of the series. Watching this and like, because it literally been about 12 years since I'd seen this film, but rewatching it has kind of reinvigorated my interest in the franchise. So I think I'm definitely going to seek out the ones that I haven't seen now.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'll come back to this one again at some point as well. It definitely has rewatch value.
Yeah.
Like you say, especially with friends.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. That was a good one.
That
two
good,
thumbs up.
It? Yeah.
Two thumbs up. So, yeah, that was way better than Starly.
Most films are, to be fair.
Yeah. I think the key is, in future, we definitely need to sort of say B-movie.
Yeah.
Give ourselves a bit more freedom, because, like, bad film is too subjective, and whereas B-movie, you know, we can all agree on the definition of B-movie.
It's bad and bad good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Starly was a bad movie. The Room is a bad good movie. Troll 2 is a bad
the
good
movie.
The
best bad movie.
Yeah.
Best worst movie.
Oh my god. Love it. So good.
Does the kid from Troll 2 still follow us on Twitter?
I don't know.
That was brilliant. That made my year. Yeah. So the only other thing that I wanted to talk about quickly that I forgot to talk about at the beginning was Castle Rock.
Uh-huh.
Because I was so excited in the last show.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've watched the first three episodes. There is a fourth. There'll be a fifth this week.
Okay.
Tomorrow? Or like 2 days ago
yeah.
when this goes out. Ah, time. So So, you know, I've had chance to kind of to let it percolate, and I'm familiar with the characters now, and it's going somewhere. I'm loving it.
Yeah, is it that good?
It's, I don't want to like talk it up too much. It's not like the second coming of television, but it's really solid and it's really intriguing. It's really atmospheric. It's really well acted. I want to know what the fuck is happening.
Okay.
And I want to know where it's going to go. And I cannot for the life of me second guess any of it.
Okay.
It's very, very Stephen King-y.
I mean, I should hope so.
Yeah. Some of the references are a bit heavy-handed. Okay. Like, there's literally a character called Jackie Torrance.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds familiar. Other nods are a little less obvious. There's like a death row inmate. It's like an old lady who's described as like having been a battered wife.
Okay.
That the main character is representing because he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought that might have been a nod to Rose Madder, but apparently her surname was Chambers, so it's more of a link to Stand By Me.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was like River Phoenix's... Wait, was River Phoenix's big brother Kiefer Sutherland in Stand By Me? Or were they not related?
I don't know. Offhand.
Or was he just a dick to the kids? I can't remember. But there was a link there, and it's really fun picking up on all the Easter eggs. I mean, it's a great show regardless. But as a horror fan and as a Stephen King fan, I think you'll get a lot out of it.
Okay. I do love films that do references well.
Yeah. And it's pretty intelligent as well.
Not like heavy-handed, like I said, not heavy-handedly, but like more subtle nods to things that you might not pick up on with until you give it some thought. And
yeah. Like, after the first episode aired, I can't remember what website I was on, but I read an article that was sort of breaking down the Easter eggs, or claimed to be breaking down the Easter eggs, and it was like, number one, Bill Sarsgaard's in it. Oh, fuck off.
Really?
That's not an Easter egg.
That's just
like, did you
casting.
Know he played Pennywise? Fuck off!
Who do you think is watching this? Sissy Spacek. Really? Who? Who's she?
It was literally the most
insulting
article.
I've never heard of Sissy Spacek.
Article.
What's she been in? Oh.
Right. I don't know who wrote that article, but they need to stop. Stop. So definitely, definitely check that out. And I'd be interested to talk some more about it once you've seen it.
Yeah, definitely will. Definitely will.
So on that note, please come and follow us on social media. We are, as ever, trying to be more active.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is kind of the place to be, I would say.
Yep.
So come follow us at Instagram at GorePress. Help us choose what we're going to watch next time.
Yeah.
Because that's...
This is a good start.
Right? I kind of like this system. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter. If you just search for GorePress or Radio GorePress, you'll find us. Say hello.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, thank you for listening.
See ya.